Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about senior women. You know, elders, you know, grandmas, you know, those people you say, oh, yeah, my gosh, you know, those people that are just kind of way over the hill. Well, I kind of qualify to be in that paradigm, and I say, am I over the hill if I'm in my 60s? Am I a grandmother? Yes. Am I over 50? Yes. Am I an elder? Okay, I'll take that label. Is it a big deal? The answer is truly no these days. But we look at it, we say, I'm reflecting back on how my grandparents lived their lives in their later years, and I'll say, wow, we're living so much differently these days. However, if we really look at it, how old did our grandparents actually live too? So really, we have so many more years now. We have so much more life that has been gifted to us. How can we spend those moments? Today, my guest is Dr. Thelma Reese. The book is The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. Dr. Thelma, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here and to still be with it.
Yeah, we're with it. We're here today. You know, Dr. Thelma, I think the concept of we look back at our elders, and you and I look back at our elders, and we say how they aged and how we are now aging is such a contrast. But also, too, we look at how many years of life do they actually have and how many more we're having now, right?
Well, that's true of the general population. I was very lucky because my own mother lived to be a month short of 97, and her mental attitude was always wonderful, and she was fully there till the end. But even her life was so different. People looked at older women differently, the ones, even the ones who were fortunate enough to get to be old. And to put it in the context, though, that you're mentioning about aging longer, living longer, let's just think about this for a minute. Social Security was created in the 30s when it was perfectly safe to make the time that you could collect the age of 65. Why was that so safe? Because the average person wasn't living that long. That's just in the 1930s. That's not 100 years ago. So think about that. And now to be 65 probably means you've got a whole third of your life, maybe even a little more, left. And what are you going to do with it? And who are you going to be? And who are you going to be seen as?
Right,
the person who's just rocking somewhere? On a chair or really rocking?
Right. And you know what, too, the idea also, if we look at it, men, their age limits have not extended as much as women. Men are still successfully doing as much as they can possibly in their lives. However, you know, my grandfathers died in their 60s. My grandmother's lived to almost 100. But if we look at it now, many men are not, in other words, the percentage of men making it to those older years with a woman is still hasn't changed as much. Men are still, you know, leaving us much earlier, and women still have a great deal of their life, and they're living alone, don't you think?
That's true. Men are starting to catch up, but slowly. It's mm-hmm. true. They still do leave us earlier, generally.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
the changes for them, though, are enormous, too. In fact, I'm just in the middle of an article I'm writing called Hashtag Me Too Meets
right.
the Senior Man.
Yeah, because, you know, I'll tell you, the men, I think, you know, you've written also your other book, and your other book was The New Senior Man, and we've spoken about it before. But just to put a little spot in here is that sometimes women will say, you know, oh, my gosh, I'm finally retired. And when they say they're finally retired, it's because the man has passed on, and now they feel like they have their own life. It's not always
That's
about
so
a job
true.
That they've left. You know, it's not always about a job that you've retired from. You've retired from
exactly.
the life that you
That's
knew,
a-
right?
Yeah, that's a wonderful point to make. And the people who survive widowhood
right.
more capably are women. Men, when they mm. are left widowed, have a harder time than women do. And many women, I mean, it's not that they don't mourn, but
uh-huh.
they often flourish.
Yeah. You know, as we've said on the other show, and it's worth repeating here, is that men develop legacies, women live lives, you know? And I think that's true, is that women have learned to go through grief or loss or change, or they've, in other words, women are great, I call them, women are great salamanders. We've been morphing ourselves our entire lifetime.
Yeah.
We've had
yeah.
kids. We've gotten fatter. We've gotten skinnier. We've taken kids to school. You know, we've let kids go on their own way. We've had to rediscover ourselves. We let go of womanhood at menopause. We're really great salamanders. It's just that men have grown up to get a job and a profession and sit their butts
yes.
at a desk for however long, and they've never had that chance to morph, don't you think?
That's so true. I love that whole metaphor because women have been forced to go through those changes, and it's
right.
been strengthening, actually. And
right.
so here comes another one, and it's called aging. And yes. I love the new term that's just emerging, speaking of salamanders. The new term that I've been hearing just for the last few months out of Stanford's longevity project is calling people at this stage perennials rather than seniors.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Perennials suggest that you keep blooming again. And that sort of fits in with your metaphor of the salamander, too. Making changes that actually signify growth rather than diminishment.
Yes, it's really about being able to say that, if you think about it, perennials, you know, they have their waves. They grow up, they come down, they go up, they come down. And I think the idea that we're evolving. That's really
yes.
a new concept, I think, in our human existence, because not everybody has really used that, don't you believe?
I think that's absolutely true. It's especially true of people who are fortunate enough now to be aging and still able to contribute to society, maybe in a way that will ultimately make the big difference that we all need.
Right. Yeah, because I'll tell you, I remember my grandmother. My grandmother always, probably from her early 50s, she used to sit on her back porch in her rocker in the afternoon. And she would always just sit on her swing or her rocker and just watch the birds and the flowers and how the little hill behind her home changed. And that was what she enjoyed. And I thought about it all the time, and everybody would say and put different labels on it, that she lived a very challenging life, I'll say, to not put labels on it. And I think that when she had those few hours in the afternoon, that was her time for her. She didn't have to be something or do something or go somewhere or show up for someone or whatever. And I think that when we look back at that, we say, well, they didn't live their greatest lives. I think she lived her greatest life in that moment because she took it for herself, don't you think?
I think that's a really wonderful description. It makes me think of when we moved into the house we live in now. There's a little tiny house behind it that we rent out. And I remember when we were rehabbing our place and that place, whenever another woman friend of mine would come and see what we were doing, they would say, oh, I wish I could have this little house just for myself. These were all married women with families.
Yes.
And the idea of having one's own place. There was a great woman writer who wrote something called A Room of One's Own. I can't remember her name at the moment, but if you look up, if you Google A Room of One's Own, it was a kind of an eye-opener for women when she wrote that.
Right.
Because the idea was, it was a time when you were not at everyone's beck and call, when you were not always at the service of family or even of friends, but had that time to think and grow and be just yourself. That was important to women then, and it still is.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
I think that what we've come to now is that the idea is that we deserve it, or we're able to have it, or to allow ourselves to bring more into ourselves. You know, I had a discussion with someone this morning, and she was constantly trying to help her mother. And I said, but you're really in her space. You're really trying to control something you don't have control over. And you're not really enjoying the moment. And really, your mother's kind of doing it also. I think sometimes when we can sit back and say, can I just self-love myself, or can I be okay with myself? And I think sometimes women challenge that.
They also, without knowing the people, I can also say that sometimes, even when it feels like a sacrifice that you have to make, can you also love the fact that you're able to do it, and be, and you and your mother share that moment of giving to each other? Because that's a great gift in life too. That this time that we have, this greater time that we have, is meaningful too, even if it's has pain as part of it. It needn't be suffering.
Yeah. And it's also too the idea that it's how to just love unconditionally, irregardless. You know, I think we put so many conditions on things, and we say that they're getting older, I have to fix this, I have to control that, you know, for a parent.
Right.
Or, you know, and even we look back and we say, you even have a chapter in your book, you know, about kids, are they ever going to grow up? And the idea is, is that, you know, are we real? But do we always want to have a control on the tether line? I think sometimes the control on the tether line almost ends up being a noose around your neck, you know, because it really doesn't allow you to be able to breathe, don't you think?
It's a very good point. And when we interviewed all these women, we interviewed certainly well over 100 women from all walks of life, and we found that often these conflicts within families, among siblings, parents and children, continued until everybody was a senior practically.
Right.
And there is this wish on the part of the parents usually for harmony and sadness when the offspring don't get along or they perpetuate some kind of estrangement. And the realization that we can't fix it, maybe it free us to still be really happy, productive people ourselves, that it needn't be. I like that idea that you just put forward too, Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that the tether can become strangling.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when you, you know, as a parent, we do this all the time, and I'm sure, you know, we could take it back, you know, forward ahead to your parents, to your grandparents, and backwards to your kids. But the idea that when someone needs help with someone, we always want to command to be able to drive the wagon. I always say that. And what that means is we have to make sure that the wagon and everything around it is perfect. In other words, our ideas, our belief systems on how this should play out, on how this should show up, and on how this should influence everybody and everything. And if it isn't perfect with a bow on top, you know, and makes a little ding ding as you go down the street, people get pretty pissed off and it really doesn't work, you know?
Right. It's so true.
Right?
That's absolutely true. You know, we found that as many women as we talked to, and we were looking seriously, we were looking for role models. How do you do this business of aging well? And we found out that everybody does it differently. All the people we found to admire were different from each other and from the way they were facing all the challenges. And there are challenges in getting older. There's no question.
Right.
And we're able to grab opportunities, to find opportunities as they aged and improve their own lives in so many ways, but everybody does it differently. And the thing is, when we read about these role models, we can pick something up from every one of them that may just change the prism for a moment of how we're looking at our own lives.
And I think the idea and the concept of freedom is really where we've kind of like let loose. It's almost like, you know, when you don't have a husband at your house, he's gone on vacation or something, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to eat ice cream for 3 meals a day, and I'm, you know, and I just might not go to sleep in the bedroom. I might sleep in my lingerie on the couch, you know, and playing, you know, Peter Cetera the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
And the idea that freedom is, people would say, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Oh, my gosh, you mean you did that? And then they constantly want to turn around, and I call it, you know, they constantly want to put glue on your parade, you know. It's sort of like, stop, you know, I want to enjoy this moment however I want to enjoy it. And I think as we get to be elders, there's so many people around us pointing fingers at us, telling us how it's supposed to play out, that it really starts to be, it's sort of like, boy, man, I don't want to be this anymore. And, you know, I've even seen this, you know, this is not the norm, however I've seen it, is that people would say, ooh, I'm going to pretend I'm forgetting things so that I can start being a little bit freer. You get it? Because then people will say, oh, she's just forgetting. Oh, she's kind of losing it. And in other words, they kind of create the scenario so they can be a little bit freer. Don't you think a lot of people feel really stuck in how people want them to act at that age?
That's giving me an idea for, for
a story
about a woman who really pretends to be losing it and allows other people to leave her alone when she wants to or take care of her when she wants that. There's an idea. Maybe we should work on that story together.
We probably should, you know, because I think sometimes people, you know, when you get older and you say, you know, I really wanted to wear that tight skirt with my high heels, but oh my gosh, how dare I go out in public, you know? And it's sort of like, and you know, I thought about this the other day, you know, but I haven't worn high heels probably in decades again myself, but I was always a stiletto girl, you know, short skirts and stilettos. Poofed up, cheesed up blonde hair, that was me. And now it's like, man, I'd love to put on some high heels, you know, and go out. And it's like, you know, I have this idea. Here's another story. I have this idea in my head. I carry the shoes with me in my purse, and when I get where I want to go, I put them on. You know what I mean?
I'd
enjoy the experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're being smart enough not to put yourself in the position where you might break an ankle.
Right. But don't you think that's what elders are doing? They still want to have that experience? Don't you still want to be happy and go lucky?
Of course. And it may be, of course, that the idea of doing it with stilettos is just an idea that could be replaced by lots of other things that would make that
different
feeling. Right.
Right. It's just about saying, you know, just because I'm older doesn't mean I'm dead, doesn't mean that I have to succumb to things, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. And whatever makes you feel really rejuvenated for the moment is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I remember my mother telling me when she turned 90, I can't believe I'm at this age because I know I'm still the same person. And I'm feeling that way now that I'm hitting 85. Very much so. I am still the same person. And maybe not so much the same as more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, I've always said on my shows that, you know, that we are eternal beings and that each lifetime is a wardrobe change. So really, if we look at it and we say that right now, well, okay, so maybe our clothes are getting old and worn, but in our mind and our thoughts and our spirit, we are just as happy and go lucky as a child is, you know? And sometimes as we get older, we say we want to feel things like a child. We want to go to the fair. We want to go to be able to maybe put on rollerblades. And we want to maybe have some tap dance shoes. I don't know if you remember tap dance shoes with the taps on the end.
Do.
Right. But we want to still be able to touch that and feel that because that brings up our mind. It says we're still alive. It says, I enjoy that, right?
Well, the wonderful thing is that unlike other people before us, we have a lot of ways of doing things vicariously now that they never had. So that even if there are genuine, and sometimes they really are real, physical limitations on what we can do, we can enjoy so many things vicariously via the computer, via Google. I know that when my computer opens up to a gorgeous picture of somewhere else in the world, it may be, and I've been fortunate to travel most of the world, and when I see a picture of a beautiful island, I can really transport myself mentally there.
Right.
So
right.
When I travel now, it's more vicarious, not because I'm so limited by my own. I'm fortunate not to have those physical limitations, but I don't enjoy the airline experience the way I want
Correct.
It. Because,
yep.
frankly, it's awful.
I hate it, too. I just came back from Chicago, and it's like, dude, that's going to be my last trip.
Makes you angry, and if I'm going to just be angry, maybe I'd rather just think about going than actually get on that plane now. I traveled all the way to Switzerland last fall, and if I hadn't decided I was going to need transportation within the airport, I was recovering from back surgery. So it was legitimate to ask for that. And if I hadn't, I really literally would not have been able to make the connections in Frankfurt, Germany, where the airport is the size of a small city. So it's not just a function of age, but it's also a function of the way the whole airline industry is operating now, that travel is a different experience than the one that I enjoyed so much. But going
and
to the places, I still love.
And that is so true. But now we're confounded with the idea that, if you remember, I mean, I grew up in a very small mining town in Pennsylvania. And, you know, my grandmother's house is like a mile away, and I walked there every day. My aunt lived a few blocks away. My cousins were maybe a half a mile the other way.
Right.
Everybody lived within that same kind of valley in the mountains.
Yes.
But now we can't even connect. So I think the ideas of FaceTime on our phone, you know, is so precious these days. And I think the idea that if an elder says, well, oh, I don't know how to use that, the idea is help and support those around you to be able to have that connection, because then they say, oh, I haven't seen you. Well, here you are, just as well as looking at a picture. You look at FaceTime, it's just as well as being there, don't you think?
I do think, and I was made aware of that years ago in Ireland. We came to this absolutely exquisite little town, and I was speaking to a woman there who told me that her only son had just moved to Northern California. I said, first of all, I can't believe that anyone would leave a place this beautiful. She said, well, he thinks Northern California is beautiful because it was different. And I said, well, I'm sorry that he's so far away. And she said, oh, don't be sorry. It's not the way it was when people used to immigrate to America.
Right.
We see each other now on the computer. And I realized what a difference there is today when people move away. I still think that physical contact is important. And I wish my grandchildren would use the telephone more than text. They're not even using the telephone now. You know, it's very rare that kids are young, really young people around 20 are using phones. They stop talking so much except through texting or through imaging. It's a big change.
It sure is. And I think I've even thought that I've always wanted to go back to the area in which I lived. And it's interesting because I said I wanted to feel and smell the mountains. So just as you, what I would do is I would put, you know, a picture of the evergreen trees that I really loved or something like that. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is I would just say, close your eyes and breathe in and just dream about it and think about it. And you're already there, you know, and that's not so far off from, are we going to eventually going to be able to do that, transport ourselves? But we are.
You're
we're
right.
transporting ourselves in our minds and in our thoughts. It's, you know how that idea when you think of, like I have someone that I used to date for a very long time. And I think of him, and when I think of him sometimes, I'll smell cigarette smoke because I used to smoke all the time. So if we can do that,
sense memory. Uh-huh.
Right. So if we can do that, we can just as effective be able to smell and feel our other experiences. We just maybe haven't tried as well, right?
Right. The app isn't there yet, but it will be.
Yeah, it will be. I think to believe it in our mind that it is, because it's all about our perception, right?
Yes, that's so true. And changing your perceptions and being resilient in that way is the way that aging works for people.
Right.
It's not trying to do it. It's being stuck at one place that is stultifying, that makes aging difficult for some people. It's failure to continue to grow and expand your world.
And people think that they have to get out all the time and do all of these things. And I'll say, no, that's just doing. What I'm talking about is being. I'm being present. I'm being engaging. I'm being loving. I'm being caring. I don't have to go out to do an act to be able to validate my how I feel, right?
Exactly. And yet, and the other thing is when people find sometimes in the doing of some things, it makes their whole being changed. I've been interviewing people recently who are contributing to the world around them, and they are older people, men and women, who are looking at things in the world that they think should change. And we all see them every day. And instead of just bemoaning the fact that things are in a bad way, they've decided, well, I can make some contribution.
Right.
And when they do that, their whole world changes, their whole perspective, their whole attitude about themselves is changing because they know that they're making some kind of contribution to something beyond themselves.
Right. But also, too, what they're doing is they're not just doing it as an action, like going out and doing a J-O-B, you know, a job for the day. They're going out and they're actually being the change they want to see. They're actually going out and encompassing it in every part of their life. They eat it, they breathe it, they sense it, they walk it, they talk it.
That's the meaning. It's the meaning that it's putting into their lives. It's the purpose. And purpose can keep us going a long, long time, very happily.
Right. And also, let's talk for a second about identity. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm a mother, and then their kids are gone, or their kids pass away, or I'm a wife, and all of a sudden, I'm not a wife anymore, now I'm a widow. And really, I think our shortcomings sometimes is that we always seem to identify with those labels versus being able to say, who the heck am I, you know?
Exactly. That's so true, because when you identify yourself that way by your role, by a role that you're playing in life, much as you may, as important as that role may be to you, it's still not who you are. You're absolutely right about that. That this is not your definition. That's not defining your essence of your own self. It's an expression of it. Being a mother or being a wife or being a friend is an expression. It's one way you are expressing yourself, but it isn't your whole self.
Yeah, it's a tough time, I think, when people say, I don't really know what that means. And I tell them, you're not supposed to know what it means. You're just supposed to enjoy the journey. You know, if it's good for today, it's okay for today.
In fact, the journey is finding that out.
Right. And if you don't get there, or wherever you think that there is, it's just maybe the journey was just to get up today and say, oh, it's cool. It's whatever it
right.
is today, right?
Right, right, right. I'm on a journey. I think if you look at life that way, you're in
yeah.
a much better place than if you think you've really ever achieved something on its own and it wasn't
right.
part of this journey of expansion,
yeah.
of becoming a perennial.
Let's talk for a second about all of the challenges of getting older also, too, is about, let's talk about grief and loss. When we use the word grief, you know, to me, I always think of grief as unconditional love just pouring out of your heart. That's my definition, you know, because I believe that it's you're really your love for yourself or your love for someone else is just so overwhelming. It
yes.
just feels like it just pours into your fingertips even, right?
Yes, it's an overwhelming sadness. And
yeah.
It is something that you eventually it's something you eventually get through. You work through, you live through, and you come out the other end of that period. And
right.
that's when you know it wasn't just depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you were able to get past eventually. But it had to come out. It had to pour out that way.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, like, when I said about love coming out, it's also, too, you end up saying all of that I stored up and maybe didn't express to the other person. It's finally releasing. It's almost like you
uh-huh.
feel like when, you know, when you feel like when someone's gone, you say, oh, I wish, and really this is the conversation people have when they experience grief and loss. I wish
yeah.
I told them. I wish I didn't say that.
Right.
I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish.
Yes.
Well, when it all comes pouring out, it's sort of like I'm giving you my unconditional
yes.
love. It's coming out. Here it comes.
Yes,
you know?
I think that's true. Yeah, yeah. I really like that idea that there's some way you have to express all that.
Right. And it's a gift. You know, I think
yes,
people don't
absolutely.
Say that grief is a gift, but I believe it's a gift because I think it connects you to your heart. And it says that you're
yeah.
still here and you're still alive, right?
And if you don't go through it,
uh-huh.
I think you pay a price later.
Yeah.
I think
you become hardened.
You know, if you just keep it in
uh-huh.
and you don't let it all pour out,
uh-huh.
You're making a big mistake. I think repressing
yeah.
that feelings, those wishes, is a really unhealthy way to live.
I think because you become hardened, don't you think?
Yes, right. To ignore it is to ignore what's really in your heart.
Right. Let's talk, we say, about senior moments. I think that's so funny. And, like, I absolutely love them. You know, even this conversation, I don't remember what I said 5 minutes ago, but it's sort of like we just keep going. And I think they, you know, and when people turn around, they say, we're going to, you know, I mean, I'm a doctor. You know, I know the tests that you get for dementia and all. And it's like, oh, Lord, I just can't go there because I don't believe that, you know, all of those are, in essence, always what it is. You know, it's almost like, gosh, you know, it's okay that I forgot about that. It's not that important. Who really cares what I ate for breakfast, right?
Right.
Don't you think?
And it's very funny, you know, it's very funny when you can't think of something, especially a name.
Right.
And then it comes up. For example, we just had one where I mentioned the book A Room of One's Own.
Mm-hmm.
I just remembered, of course, Virginia Woolf wrote it, the great
oh.
writer.
uh-huh. Yeah.
Couldn't think of her name. I was having one of those moments when
right.
I mentioned that book before, A Room of One's Own. And just that title conjures up the idea that this is what women all really secretly want. right. a room of their own, but I couldn't think of the name, and now it just came to me. It's Virginia Woolf, the great Virginia Woolf. Wow.
But you know what
there
I think of also,
it happened
too?
To all of us.
Yes. And you know what, too, I think also, when we can't remember a name, and we say, oh, but I could see her. She's got a
exactly.
yellow dress
you
on.
Exactly. You see the face. You
yes.
see the face in front of you, and then the name absolutely escapes you. But then maybe an hour or a few hours later, when you not think you're not thinking about it at all,
uh-huh.
it's back. Suddenly,
right.
it pops into your mind when you're not trying anymore to think about it. It's kind of funny. If you
yeah.
look at it as funny.
Well, Dr. Thelma, here's
off.
How...
Instead
here's
of
how,
being scared.
Absolutely. Here's how I reframe it, and this is how I look at it. I
right.
remember that I remember that person's essence of who they are. I'm
right.
not worried about the label called their name.
Right.
That's
except
right.
it gets a little uncomfortable if you're expected to introduce them.
Oh, you don't worry about it. That's the part of enjoying your life, right?
Right, right. I'd like you to meet what's-her-name. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Oh, goodness. How about my dear friend? And then leave
right,
it at that.
This is my dear friend. What's-her-name?
That's right.
Yeah, but, you know, it is the important thing is not to let it scare you. It is not
absolutely
a sign necessarily of Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And if you're really, really worried about that, then you should
yeah.
get it checked. You should
mm-hmm.
see somebody who will start with your own doctor and say, yeah, is there someone I should consult about this? Because I'm a little
right.
worried about my memory loss. If you start putting the keys in the refrigerator, you know,
right.
maybe it's fine.
It's okay if they go in the washing machine, but in the refrigerator, we'll worry about it. I'm not worried about it if they go in the washer, whatever. Oh, goodness. See, I don't worry about any of that. So
good.
You know what, Dr. Thelma, let's talk about this for a second. When we think about end of life and people say we have to downsize and we feel like they're throwing our life away and our
yeah.
life is considered what's inside of our home. We see this a lot of times.
Absolutely.
People identify with their stuff versus
absolutely.
Identifying with who they are.
Definitely. This is... I tell you, this is a subject that everybody we talk to responded to vociferously one way or another
yeah.
and all across the spectrum from being absolutely vehement about holding on to material things
right.
All the way to not really caring and poo-pooing
mm-hmm.
the difficulties of leaving a place or leaving
right.
things behind. And
yeah.
we run the spectrum, there's no question, but it's something to think about in terms of especially what the things really mean and
mm-hmm.
how much space they take up, not in the room, but in your mind and
right.
in your heart, and how devoted are you to stuff?
Uh-huh.
And I've been hearing a lot lately from women who say to me, I can't understand it. The kids are getting married at this point, maybe
mm-hmm.
grandkids are getting married, and they mm-hmm. don't want my stuff. They
right.
don't want family
right.
silver. They don't want my china. They,
yeah.
they don't want these things. They have a whole different attitude about the things that I have treasured.
Right.
Which it's really interesting. But I love the woman that I met when we were doing this book who had a great idea about her stuff. She started giving it away for wedding gifts and holidays and birthdays. And with each piece that she loved, and she gave to somebody younger, she felt so good about putting it in a home. She thought it might treasure it. She made sure it was something that really went with the person she was giving it to. And it made her feel better about downsizing in the sense of getting rid of things. And
right.
She did it so thoughtfully. And it was a very warm and gracious way to get rid of stuff and to feel that she was not so much giving as sharing something she loved with people mm-hmm. that she cared about.
Well, you know, I had two ex-husbands, and I had the rings, you know, the wedding rings.
Uh-huh.
And what I did was I gave it to the children, and I said, here, take them. And
yeah.
One child took it, and I said, I'm giving it because I'm giving you and sharing you this. However, if it works for you, you could use it. But if it doesn't, please pawn it or sell it.
Exactly.
And then get something that you want. And they
exactly.
did. And it, right.
If it's
so
really
in other words,
a gift, if it's really
yeah.
a gift, it's really a gift. And they
right.
are free to do what they want with it and not feel some kind of obligation to mom to use
right.
it the way she would. Absolutely. That's when
right.
it's really a gift.
Yeah, because then they don't have to uphold it. In other words, you don't have a tether line with all these generations.
Exactly.
It's almost like you're releasing it from you.
Exactly.
So
yes.
then when you release
That's right.
it, when you release it, it allows it to become freer. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people don't understand what giving a gift really means.
Right.
When there
and
are
I think
real strings
that,
attached, those strings
right.
are tethers. You're right.
Yeah. And I think also the idea of a cellar and an attic, you know, those places
yes.
to put stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all of those things, you know. And
right.
you know, I had a picture one time, and it was so funny. We had stopped at a red light, and I live in New Orleans. And the graves are above ground in this certain area. And I
oh,
looked
yeah.
to my and I looked to my right and saw two of them, you know, and in between was a little moped, and it was strapped around the gravestone, you know,
oh.
The big tomb. And I said, oh, gosh, they must think they could take it with them. And I laughed about it, you know. And it was,
or
it
maybe,
was just,
maybe it was a way to get to the next level.
I don't know what it was, but it was, you know, it's just the funniest thing. You know what I mean? They actually
really
believe
funny.
They could take it with them, you know? And it was just so funny, yep. You know? But I think that, and then let's look at the other side of it. My husband sells life insurance, and he went to the woman's home, and she had died a day before, and then he said, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. And he went back, and it was only like within 2 days. He said all of her stuff was out on the street for the garbage man already, you
oh
know?
Oh, my goodness,
so,
yeah.
Well, I,
yeah, let's
but I
get
think
rid
the
of
idea.
It fast. Right, yeah.
Right, but
well,
I think the
there
idea.
You are. Those are two extremes, right?
Right.
Have the moped
we had,
right, right where you are.
Right. Yeah.
And or get rid of everything immediately, yeah. Those are the two
but that's
extremes.
A perfect example of who's attached to the stuff is the person
yeah.
It's like if you're attached to it, you're the one that's attached to it, nobody else, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's a tough thing to be able to say, you know, do we continue with our old habits and our old thoughts? Or do
it
we turn
is.
Around and say, I'm willing to open myself up and experience something else? And I think
yes.
that if you're an elder and you've got a whole lot of great tchotchkes around, you could sell
yes.
all those and go to Italy for a week, you know?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Just trying to do it without having to change planes anywhere.
Yes, I know. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's so true. I'll tell you, that's tough. Oh, goodness. But I'll tell you, the
idea
is so
don't
crazy.
Be reluctant to ask for a wheelchair in the airport, even if you're
oh.
really not badly crippled. If it's going to be
yes.
a distance to get from gate to gate. Ask for it.
Help.
You actually are paying for it.
You know, actually, when I went to Chicago recently, I said to them, I said, how far is it from the front gate to where I got to go? And they said, oh.
Perfect question.
Right. And they said it's a good distance. I said, okay, good. So I'm going to go early. And what I did was I walked a little ways, sat down, and had something to eat. And I walked another ways,
That's
sat
the
down.
Way to do it. Right.
Yeah, sat down and just waited. And then I sat, then, like, by the time I got to the gate, I wasn't sitting at the gate for 2 hours. It
exactly.
was I had stopped intermittently along the way.
Right. And, you know, this is part of just being smart about where you
right.
are in your own life, what
right.
is working for you and what isn't, and take care of yourself in a way that makes
yeah.
sense. So what you did was to pace yourself in a way
mm-hmm.
that was going to make the trip better.
Absolutely. And it's really about understanding about taking care of yourself, too. I think we've, over decades, many people with the you know, the revolution of the physician's going to fix everything for you. We're now at the point where we kind of need to pay attention to ourselves and take care of ourselves, because not everybody
Absolutely.
Can fix this or have the answers, right?
That's so true. Although I have to say, some of the changes that we've seen, like the drug companies
right.
advertising so directly to all of us about
mm-hmm.
whatever drug is out there, makes me a little queasy. And I wonder what you think,
yeah.
Jeanette, because that's in
yeah.
your, that's really in your field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea of my thinking, even though it may be, may turn out to be true, but if I have faith in the doctor that I'm going to,
mm-hmm.
is it presumptuous of me to say, you know, I just saw this new drug on television. They say I should
mm-hmm.
be taking it for what I've got. You know, are you up on this, or should I be
right.
asking her or him? As though I'm the expert now?
Well, I think the idea that to assume that your physician is God Almighty and is going to save you is really a falsehood, and it's an illusion. And I think
yeah.
what they've done is they've created it to be a truth. So what you're doing when you're seeing a commercial on TV is you're saying, I'm going to discover my own truth in my own exploration. So when you do see those commercials on TV, it's like when you go to your doctor, say, you know, I saw this drug on TV. And then what you're doing is you're not trying to challenge them or
uh-huh.
poo-poo
yeah.
anything. What you're doing is you're saying, I use the word exactly, is I say, I saw this drug on TV. It sounds really interesting. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Uh-huh.
And at right.
Yeah.
Because what
yeah.
you're then doing is you're dancing and engaging in a conversation versus having someone be on the defense if they do or
right.
do not know anything about it. And I will honestly
yeah.
tell you, people do this to me all the time with because I'm in alternative healthcare now too, and they will say, oh, do you know so-and-so, and they will name a product. And I will
yeah.
say, no. And they think you don't know about it. But if they turn around and they said, do you know about the magnesium in
uh-huh.
this product?
Oh,
magnesium.
I see. Yeah.
Do you see
yeah.
what I'm saying? So
yes.
in other words, what you're saying
yeah.
is, tell me about the active part of it. I don't want it, and it doesn't matter about the label. So when
right.
you're saying a
right.
drug name from television, that's
yeah.
very much the same thing as you're saying a label is
why. Oh,
however,
yes.
you have not asked about the active component. So a
so
doctor could turn around
you
and
really,
say that.
This is what you
mm-hmm.
really need your clients to know, to understand.
Right.
It's
but it's
is,
also it's given
yeah.
people the freedom to ask. So
yes.
if you're an elder, you know, when you go to them and they say, you know, because sometimes the doctor will say, you know, people will come in a list of 5 or 10 drugs they want to try, and
right.
we can turn around and say, okay, I know they're all for heart, but this one raises your heart this way, this one raises it this way, this one raises
uh-huh.
it this way, but we're going to raise it this way.
I see.
But,
yes.
You know? So I think
right.
the idea of how to explore questions, even in the world around you, it's about don't go and, you know, as we get older, don't
yes.
try to assume that everybody has the answers, because nobody does.
So you
everybody
have to,
just is on
yeah,
a journey,
really,
too.
You really have to have a genuinely inquiring attitude.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, too, about taking care of your health when you get older is to say there are no right or wrong ways, and you're not going to miss the boat. Everybody's going to die when everybody's going to die. Okay? So, you know,
yeah.
you know the talk. Right, because you know the talk we have, well, if I did it that way, I would have been here longer. Or if I made a mistake, I'm going to do
right.
something wrong. That,
yeah.
There is no mistakes. There is truly no mistakes. There really isn't. I think we all do the best we can, even with our spouses or not. You know the idea when I left the room and they passed away and I felt so bad? Well, maybe they were waiting for you to leave the room so they could go. You know,
yes.
the idea that...
Yes. That's such an important point.
Yeah, it's like let it be okay for whatever it is. So the
yes.
journey, I think, in our older years is
yes.
it's okay, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are so on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I think we get so scared that we're going to make it wrong, but there are no
yeah.
wrongs. So I think
yeah.
that if we could be okay with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, Dr. Thelma, it's been a great time talking to you today. I just realized we're out of time. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope that people will enjoy The New Senior Woman. It is out in paperback, so they can find
right.
it in paperback or on Kindle
yeah.
on Amazon. And I think they'll meet lots of interesting women in the book.
Well, absolutely. Dr. Thelma, is there any other ways to reach you? Do you have a website?
Yes, they can go to www.elderchicks, all one word, elderchicks.com. They can reach me there, and they can always reach me at my own email address, which is Dr. Thelma, DrThelma, at AOL.com.
Well, Dr. Thelma, it's been a great time talking to you. You're always welcome to come back on, have another rolling conversation, right?
Great. I love talking to you, Jeanette. Thanks.
Oh, and you as well. Thank you so much. If you'd like to know more information about Dr. Thelma Rees, again, do click on the bottom of today's show page and it'll go directly to her website. The book we talked about today is The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. Also, to check out her other book, The New Senior Man. It's also available today. And it's really about being able to say it's all okay. We're all in this together. Really, it's just fun to be able to share your stories. Isn't it great? So open up, talk about it, and have an enjoyable day. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.